When we walk in the Lord, in the light of His word. Shadow, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, nor a fear, not a sign, nor a hope, can abide while we trust and hope. Oh, trust and obey.
Sense when you read the words of those songs, you'll see that the people who wrote those songs, hallelujah, they'd experienced certain things. Because you can't write those things unless you've experienced them. When you're speaking about trust and obey, and all on the altar you lay, and proving the delights of God's love. Now, I really love it when you can benefit from somebody else's experience. You can see what they've been through, they've put that in the hands of the Lord, the Lord's anointed that, and they can share, and it becomes a blessing to us. How wonderful that it is. Saints, we do greet you this evening in Jesus' name. Really good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Max, thank you very much, brother, for standing in for the last few services. We do appreciate the Lord and the prayers of the saints. Let's open our Bible, saints, straight away. Let's get to a certain thought. We're expecting some visitors this evening. There's three sisters from America who had contacted us saying they wanted to come past, and one of them is a very famous singer. I think some saints know Sister Sally Duke. If you search in the internet, you'll find she's a very popular singer. She makes CDs. So they said they were going to be coming this evening. She would come and sing for us, but I think they must have been a bit delayed. That's why I sent her on the message saying that we're just going to be waiting to see if they come. But let's get in the word here, saints. Let's open Ephesians chapter 6, first of all. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read our good old familiar scripture, verse 10, 11, and 13. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He then gives us the armor. Let's read verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Like we said once before, that's the piece of the armor that we don't focus on. You know, praying always. Let's also read Matthew chapter 4. Let's get an example from the Master Himself. There's no better person to learn from than Jesus Himself. Matthew 4, let's read from 8 to 11, the third temptation of Jesus. We looked at it a few weeks back when we looked at the kingdom without the cross. From verse 8 up to verse 11, Matthew 4, this is the third temptation of Christ. It says, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's bow our heads. Father, your word is precious, it's rich. Father, your word is good and profitable for exhortation, for doctrine, Father, for admonition. Father, to fully equip us as your sons and daughters. How we do appreciate your word upon this evening. Lord, we've come unto this place. We've gathered in your precious name. Father, how wonderful that it is upon an evening like this, Lord, that we can come unto the cleft of the rock. Father, that we can come, Lord, within the veil. That you can come, Lord, and hide ourselves in the presence of the Shekinah. Father, we just want your will to be done. Praying that you'll bless your people upon this night. Praying that you'll overshadow each and every one of us, Lord. That you'll grant us grace, Father. That you'll grant us the thought behind the word. That you'll equip us upon this night. That you'll give us wisdom, instruction, leadership, and guidance. That, Father, your will may be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. One thing about the Word, I really do believe, and I'm sure that you do yourselves, that the Word is always in season. If you can find a Word in season, that's where you're going to find your overcoming power. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation you might be going through. Paul speaks of it in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, having done all to stand in the evil day. Now, the evil day in the Bible, it speaks of a perilous time. You know, there could be sickness in the home. You could have sickness in your body. You could have misfortune in your family. You could have trouble at work. You could have trouble domestically. There could be any manner of reasons where you find yourself all of a sudden that it seems the devil's got an opportunity inside of your life. You know, maybe it's been quiet all the way before. You've been having a nice time of peace. Everything's been going well in your own experience. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where now you can see something's changed. It now becomes something in the heavenly realm, a spiritual warfare. And that's what Paul was speaking about. And Paul says, the most important thing that you need to do at that kind of a time is to put on the whole armor of God. No matter what the circumstances, no matter the situations, because there's such a variety of things that we go through, such a variety of things that we have to face up to as the sons and daughters of God. And who knows what tomorrow holds? No, things may be so peaceful and fine, and like what happened to the believers there in Ukraine, when everything was going so peaceful, and all of a sudden there comes a civil war. And now you find that believer we sent it around, Brother Nikolai, the one that was killed by that shell in Donetsk, and you find now that there's turmoil and everything's upside down. That's an evil day. Life has those kind of things, and I really do believe, and I'm sure you do too, that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. That no matter what comes is ordained of God. And the prophet says that, he says, you know, the Lord puts things upon us because he wants to test our reaction to an action. He says many times he puts things upon us to see how we're going to react in certain situations, how we're going to react at certain times. And that's the part of the whole armor of God that I'd like to speak about today. And I just want to speak on the topic of your greatest enemy. And I think by the end of the service, you'll understand why I've taken this topic. Now, one thing about the word, James really admonishes us so well in the word when he says, you look in the mirror of the word. He says, don't be a forgetful hearer. He says, but when you come and you look yourself in the mirror of the word, make sure that when the word comes, as an individual, you look in the mirror of the word yourself. That's what I really like to do when I'm getting in the word. Now, Brother Max spoke about it the other week just after service. He was saying something to me and he says, no, bro, Yeah, I didn't mean to say that I come to church with a wheelbarrow and you pick up portions of the message for other people. You know, there's times, well, it's beneficial to do that as well. But I really do believe, and especially as we get into this particular thought tonight, you'll understand why I'm going down this way. But I really do believe at certain times, you don't need to be thinking very far away and thinking about, you know, maybe this applies to another person, another brother, another sister. But I really do believe the principles of what you're going to look at tonight are very important for us as individuals. So when the word comes forth, I really do believe it's a very important thing. If you want to put on the whole armor of God, it's a personal thing. You've got to take that spiritual armor that the Lord presents to you. Because I'm sure you like me, when I get up in the morning each day, when I seek the Lord, I'm asking the Lord to equip me for the trials of that day. Now I'm seeking in the Word for wisdom, for revelation, for, you know, the mind of God concerning the situations that I have to face up to, that the family has to face up to. You're seeking for something to equip you. You're seeking for something to put you in a certain spiritual condition, to minister something to you, to put you in a certain condition that you'd be able to withstand against spiritual forces, whatever the enemy is going to do. You know, and I believe the word, the spiritual word, the anointed word, it equips us. That's really what God equips us for. But it's so easy to hear the word and to try to put it on other people. It's so easy to take the word and say, okay, I think that person needs that and that person needs that. But I don't like to do that. I want the word that applies to me. Because this is me in the midst of battle. This is me in the midst of trying to overcome certain situations and circumstances. But God is good. I really love the Lord for that. I said it in the car coming down to Gitana. I said, I really woke up quite early this morning. I woke up and I was so fresh when I woke up. And I was really seeking the Lord yesterday. I hadn't been feeling well for a couple of days. And I was praying to the Lord. And I was saying, Lord, I just need you to speak to me. Just speak something to me. And I put on a message. I'd got to about 1 hour 18 on a certain message. And the Lord just spoke to me so wonderfully. And it was so powerful. The word is indeed a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That certain thoughts that I had yesterday, certain things going through my mind, it just came straight through the message exactly in the way that I'd been thinking it. And I really just stopped the message, got on my knees, I said, Lord, how wonderful that you are. And it was such a blessed day when you're having fellowship and communion with the Lord. When you seek the Lord, you seek in His wisdom, you seek in the Lord to shine His light upon your path, to show you the way to go. Because, friends, what are we here for? We're here to glorify Him. We're here to worship Him. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please Him in the best way that we possibly can. And the only way we can do that is to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Is to lay ourselves, like the song says, lay everything upon the altar. And to trust and obey. And to follow His leadership. And His leadership never fails. And the Lord will meet you. I remember Brother Tommy preaching it. God meeting you in the point of need. God will always meet you exactly where you are. So the thought here that I just want to look at first of all is your greatest enemy is self. That's what the prophet says. It's yourself. The prophet says the greatest enemy I've got is William Branham. So in the message, The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, the prophet shows us a wonderful truth where he shows us the battleground. And he says the battleground is in the mind. This is the place that Satan has chosen to wage warfare against us, is in the mind. But then the prophet goes on now to not only show us what the battlefield is, but he comes to show us who is your enemy that you need to overcome in that battlefield. And he says, your enemy is yourself. You are your own worst enemy. And I just want to show that here a little bit in the beginning, before we get a little bit further on to certain spiritual principles, but that is your greatest enemy. And friends, if you and I are going to get anywhere in this life, in that perfect strength and perfect weakness, the prophet says we have to master this of human ability. We've got to really master the ability of overcoming self, getting ourselves out the way, especially in the evil day. Because your greatest enemy in the evil day is going to be yourself. Because you're going to complicate things, you're going to make things worse, you're going to make decisions and realize the next day I shouldn't have made that decision. You're going to say certain things, you're going to regret that you said, you're going to do certain things that it's hard to bring back. So I would say the best thing that you need to do first, when you get to the evil day as part of your battle strategy, is you need to overcome self. You've got to get yourself into a certain spiritual condition. And that's what you want to have a look at this evening. Is how do you overcome self? And what is self? Because this issue of self or of selfishness, you know, the human nature, the human aspect, is very powerful. You know, it's something which, friends, you know, yourself will dress itself up in a very religious way and justify to yourself using scriptures and quotes certain things that are not the will of God. But self can be very religious and it can be very deceiving because you know, self is seeking the easy way. Now, self doesn't want to take up its cross and it doesn't want to die daily. It doesn't want to have to lay itself on the altar. It doesn't want to have to die out to certain ambitions and certain thoughts that it has and so forth. But self, it wants to find some way to justify itself in its old, all its old former splendor and glory. It wants to stay as self, but it wants to have the preeminence. And we'll see that in Matthew chapter 4 because this was the great test with Jesus. When the devil came to him and said, you can have the kingdom. You don't have to go through all of this pain. You don't have to go through all this humiliation. You don't have to be reproached by the people. You don't have to be misunderstood. There's an easy way here. I can present you with a way. You just bow down and worship me. And think you can have the glory right now. You can have the kingdom now. You can take the easy way. And the Bible says this was a temptation of Jesus. So this wasn't something that wasn't tempting to Jesus because Jesus was a natural man and he was the spiritual man. And him being born of woman as he had to be tempted like us. So Jesus was tempted just like us. That when it got to a certain conflict, it got to a certain time, Jesus didn't want to have to go a certain way. His self wanted to take the easy way. And the devil knew that. And the devil came to him at that time and said, just bow down and worship me. So the devil was appealing to his human nature, just to the natural side of Jesus there. And Jesus in himself was responding. He was being tempted by that. Then he had to get himself, the inner man had to prevail over the outer man, and he had to put the outer man underfoot, and he had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. But it was a temptation, friends. This was something that Jesus, when he weighed things in the balance and he saw the way that the will of God was for him to go and the way that he really felt that he wanted to go, it was a great conflict. And friends, we're all going to get into those kind of things. That shows the power of self. You know, and self comes, the devil, when he came to Jesus, he came quoting scriptures. He was giving him examples from the Bible to say, you know, it's not that bad. You know, this, that, and the other. And self is like that. Remember when James and John went into the city when Jesus sent them? And then they went and the people wouldn't give them any food. And then they came back and they had their scriptures. And they said, Lord, let's do like Elijah did. Let's call fire from heaven. But it was self. And Jesus had to rebuke them and say, you don't know what spirit you are. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. Can you see that self can dress itself up, find justification, find quotes, find scriptures, examples in the Bible, but it's still that old first Adamic nature that you were born with. And that's your greatest enemy. And if you really want to overcome, if you and I want to get to adoption, if you and I really want to please God, whenever you get yourself in conflict, whenever the evil day comes, you've got to get self underfoot. That's the first thing that you got to do. Before we start dealing with the symptoms of other things and outward circumstances, the first battle you've got to win is the inward battle. And don't even bother trying to go and sort out anything outwardly until first the battle has been overcome inside. Firstly, the inner battle, then you can go and try to resolve differences, resolve whatever other problems that you got in your church, in your home, in your health, in your family. But you got to get first things first. The first thing you've got to overcome is yourself. Because if you haven't overcome yourself, you've already lost the battle. No matter what else you try to do, it's self doing it. And friends, self will promise you a lot, but it can deliver nothing of lasting value. Whenever you and I have allowed self to govern, and we've made decisions, and self is the one that's dominated when you made those decisions, tell me when it ever brought forth good fruits for the kingdom of God. Never. Self cannot please God. It's impossible. Paul says the carnal man is nature's enmity against God. It cannot please God. And friends, I think whenever we face up to something, the first thing we need to do, let's go look in the mirror of the word. And let's say, is myself in control here? Or is it the inner man? Is it the man who's born in the image of the last Adam, Christ, the second Adam? Is this the first Adam that's in control in this situation? Or is this the second Adam that's in control of this situation? Because the second Adam, everything he does, it prospers. When the second Adam, Christ, comes back in the millennium, he's going to turn a waste, howling wilderness, the prophet says, into a paradise of God once again. He is the son of prosperity. So if the first Adam is in control, things are going to work out well. So the second, if the first Adam's in control, friends, we find ourselves in a lot of trouble. But it's so easy. That first Adam puts on his fig leaves. He acts all religious. He gives us plenty of reasons why he wants to handle things his own way. But friends, that is your enemy. That is your greatest enemy. And you need to conquer that enemy before you do step two in anything that you do. That's how I said, when we come tonight, let's not look at other people. Let's bring this to yourself. I'm looking at myself. When I was studying this message for myself, they say the best messages you ever preach, the most beneficial, are messages you preach from experience. Because you learn as you go as a believer, friends. The natural man, he's cunning. He's a slippery sort of a character. He wants to come in and ease his way in. And he gets in the way of God and his program every time. Every time you allow him to have preeminence, he gets in the way of the program of God. He complicates things up. Like with Abraham and Sarah and Abraham with Hagar. Now you just complicate things up. But the spiritual man, if you allow him to have preeminence, everything's going to come out fine. God's will is going to be done. But the way of self is very appealing. You can see it was a temptation to Jesus. It's like you and I. We get in certain situations. We don't want to be in those situations. No, we want to find the easy way. We all just want to have an easy life. None of us are looking for conflict. None of us are looking for troubles. None of us are looking for these things. If it was up to us, we're going to take the boat to Tarshish every day of the week. We're going to be like Jonah. We're going to get in the boat. We're going to be lying at the bottom of the boat and take the easy way. That's not the way that you want to take, because there's all this trouble down that way. The way of obedience, the way of overcoming self, and going the way of Nineveh, that's the right way that you need to go. Now the prophet speaks about that in a man running from the presence of the Lord, and he says, speaking about Jesus himself, he says, he stood there. What man could be poor like Jesus? Didn't have a place to lay his head, but he even knew where fish swallowed a coin. He says, what man could take them big jugs of water, turn them into wine, and not have a place to lay his head? You know, there was times of temptation where Jesus, his natural needs, the natural man had needs. There were circumstances in that weren't comfortable to him. And he could quite easily have been tempted to go another kind of a way, use his own way, use gifts his own way, and so forth, to achieve purposes to minister to self. But he never did. The most important thing to Jesus was the will of his Father. Amen. He did nothing but by vision. Amen. I do nothing unless my Father shows me first. Amen. Friends, what an example he gave us there. And you think what Jesus went through. He went through far more than all of us combined. Yes. In perils, in trials, in reproaches, in misfortunes, and all the different things that surrounded him. But Jesus never once allowed self to overcome him. That's why he was perfectly successful in all that he did. That's why he's the only perfect example that there is. All the prophets through the Bible, the prophet says in the church age book, Samson made his mistakes, David made his mistakes. The closest we could find is Joseph. Yet he told a lie. He wanted his brethren to lie. Tell them that you look after cattle, that you're not shepherds, because it was an abomination in Egypt to be a shepherd. And then you find Brother Branham out there. He got into a tight spot. Things were hard for him. And he preaches that message, man running from the presence of the Lord, because he also one time wanted to try to take the easy way. He was finding a natural excuse. You know, the prophets of the Old Testament used to live out in the wilderness. Let me be like Elijah. I'll go and live in Alaska. And if the Lord wants me to do something, I'll come down from there. Thus saith the Lord, I'll go back there and be a hunting guide. Then the Lord had to come and show him and say, don't follow your own plans. If you do that, you'll become a bum and your wife will leave you. But self, friends, especially when you get in difficult situations, none of us want uncomfortable situations. None of us want to really have to take up our cross and grind our way through the difficult times. The natural man will always be trying to find a way out. He's trying to find some way to justify himself in the scripture and the message to say, I don't really want to take up this cross. I don't really want to take up this responsibility. And the prophet speaks here about Jonah, how he ran from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to face up to that responsibility. But the prophet says, but Jesus took the way to Nineveh, to the Gentiles, to get himself a bride. You see, Jesus, he said, Father, this is your will. Not my will be done, but thine. Let me take up this cross. If the only way to get my bride is to go to Nineveh, let me go to Nineveh. Friends, what a wonderful example Jesus gives us. And friends, I want to be like Jesus. That's who I want to be like. He's my hero. He's my example. He's my role model. I want to be like him. That's why all of us love to read about him. I love to read what the prophet says about Jesus. The prophet, they accused him of one thing. They said, you have one major mistake. You boast too much about Jesus. I said, what a wonderful accusation for people to make to you. That you're always boasting about Jesus. But he's the only perfect example, friends. He's the only one who won every battle that he ever fought. He's the only one who overcame every step of the way. He never stumbled in the way. He's the only one that when the evil day came, every time he was standing at the end of the evil day, he was perfectly clothed in the whole armor of God. And as we look at his example, and friends, the message teaches us wonderful things down that way. It teaches us how to put on that armor of God as well. And it's very practical, but it's very spiritual. It's very spiritual because this is spiritual warfare, friends. You can't fight spiritual warfare as a natural man. You can't. You're just going to make it worse. You've got to raise yourself up into a certain spiritual level so that you can fight a spiritual warfare. And that's what the whole armor of God is. You're clothing yourself in that armor. Now, you can never overcome self without prayer. You can never. You will never overcome self without prayer. You can always tell a prayerful person. You can see a prayerful person. They don't have to tell you if they've been in prayer. You can see it by the way they conduct themselves. And especially in the evil day. When the trouble comes, temptation comes, conflict comes, the fleshly person, it's not going to take long for you to see who's in the flesh. They're going to dress their actions up in scriptures and in quotes, but you're going to see this is in the flesh. It may be a very good person, but they're not prayed up at that time. And you can say, this isn't the spirit in control. This isn't the inner man in control. This is the natural man controlling this person. The best thing when you're feeling like that, withdraw from the conflict. Get yourself into the inner chamber. Get yourself into the closet. Seek his face. Lay it all upon the altar. Seek him in prevailing prayer. Earnest, effectual, fervent prayer. Of a righteous man avails much. Because you can only overcome yourself in prayer. That's the only way you'll ever overcome yourself. You can't overcome yourself by learning quotes. You can't. Knowledge puffeth up. You can't overcome yourself by learning scriptures. It's good to learn scriptures. It's good to learn the quotes. But that doesn't overcome the inner, the outward man. But what overcomes is when you lay yourself in the presence of the Lord. When you come and you lay yourself on the altar and you die out upon the altar. And you face up to your responsibility. You face up to the facts the way that they are. The natural man, friends, will never accept blame. Everybody else is wrong except for you when you're in the flesh. Is that not true? I'm guilty, friends. We're all guilty when we're in the flesh. Everybody else is wrong. I never did anything wrong. No, you misunderstood me. I didn't say that. Friends, have you been there? I've been there. But when you're in a spiritual condition, no person can come face to face with God without coming face to face with yourself. When you come into the presence of God, when you're really seeking his face in earnest prayer, when you're saying, Lord, I need you. I'm thirsty for you. Like we sing the song, Lord, I'm desperate for you. You know, the first thing the Lord's going to start revealing to you in His presence is your own mistakes. You're going to start saying, but Lord, it's true, Lord. I'm very sorry there. I never ever said the right thing there. I didn't handle that very well. I didn't speak very well to that brother. The prophet says, no person can stand, no mortal can stand in the presence of God and condemn another mortal. So when you find, friends, that you and I can quickly condemn, we can quickly judge, we can just write people off, that's a proof we're not prayerful. Our fruits are showing we're not living a prayerful life at that time. Those are not the fruits of a prayerful life. Those are not the fruits of an overcoming life where you've overcome yourself. You haven't overcome your greatest enemy. But before you face up to any other challenge, you first need to overcome yourself. That's the key. First battles first. Overcome yourself. Then go and try to help your wife. Then go and try to solve problems in your family. Then go to your brother that you're disagreeing with. But first, you've got to overcome self. Because your greatest enemy is self. The prophet says the battleground is in the mind. Your decisions, your will, yeah? The purposes and so forth. That's the battleground. But who is your enemy? Your greatest enemy is William Branham. Your greatest enemy is Wilmore Chininga. My greatest enemy is Andrew Murray. And I know that by experience. And friends, when I get in prayer and I get before the Lord and I get in a spiritual condition, I'm more than willing to accept it. But when I haven't been in His presence, when I haven't laid my soul upon the altar, when I haven't been having a real communion, everybody else is the enemy except for me. Is that not true, friends? That's the truth. So if we're going to overcome anything, the first thing we need to overcome is ourselves. Then we can start thinking about going and dealing with other people. But until we overcome self, don't do anything else. You're going to complicate it. You're going to make it worse. You're going to just make such a headache for everybody. Overcome yourself first. That's the principle. And the way you overcome is in prayer, first of all. Prayer and the Word. That's how you do it. You get yourself in prayer. And then you say, Lord, speak to me. And God will start dealing honestly, firstly, with you. That's the first thing. Let's go and look in Daniel chapter 9. I love it so much to see genuine prayer. This is real prayer, friends. And God took the prayers of Nehemiah, took the prayers of Daniel. He recorded them in His Word because these are model prayers. These are prayers that really reached heaven. But I love Daniel. Look what Daniel says. When he starts praying, he's been fasting and he's consecrating himself. Daniel chapter 9 verse 5. Let's read from verse 4. He says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. That's real prayer first, friends. You make your confession first. Don't go before the Lord. Lord, brother so-and-so said this against me. Lord, sister so-and-so. That's not real prayer. That's noise. That's just making a lot of noise. That's not prayer of an overcomer. But if you want to overcome yourself, the first thing you do, you've got to make confession for yourself. And look what he says. He says, verse 5, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Your servants, the prophets. You know, you're going before the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I believe the message. But I didn't handle that the way the message said I should handle that. I didn't listen to what the prophet said. That was self. That wasn't the Word governing me. That was self governing me. So the first thing you got to do, go and be personal with the Lord. Before you start blaming anybody else, before you start judging anybody else, judge yourself first. Finish the job. Judge your greatest enemy first. That's the first one that you got to judge. But the natural man doesn't like that, friends. The natural man, he doesn't like to be exposed. He doesn't like it to be faced up to. To face up to facts the way that they are. And that's why the natural man is going to try to, as soon as he can. Like we say, when the anointing comes down, the preaching of the Word, somebody comes to preach. The person that's in the flesh, the moment the Word starts getting to them, up they get and they get into the cry room. Or they go to the toilet 3 times in a service. It's the natural man. The natural man doesn't want the light of the scriptures shining on them. People, it's uncomfortable to see yourself in the presence of God, the way God sees you. We prefer to see ourselves where we want to see ourselves. But friends, there's no true overcoming until you see yourself the way that God sees you. You've got to see yourself as your own greatest enemy. You've got to first see the one that you've got to overcome first is number one here. You've got to, and you've got to admit, and you've got to say, Lord, like Nehemiah said, he says, I and my father's house have sinned. That's how he starts his prayer. Not he sinned and she sinned. Lord, I have sinned. And my father's house have sinned. And we've done evil in your sight. We haven't listened to what the prophet says. Lord, we haven't walked in the spirit of this message. Lord, the way I behaved there, it was wrong. Lord, I'm very sorry what I did there. Lord, I didn't want to stumble that brother there. Forgive me for what I said. Lord, I didn't want to gossip there. Lord, I didn't want to judge that person. Lord, I was wrong in what I did. And it's painful, friends. But that's how you overcome self. Now, before you can go to that person who you feel has wronged you or that you've wronged, first overcome self, friends. Otherwise, what good? What good is it for the natural man to go to try to resolve spiritual problems? Does the natural man understand anything about the things of God? The natural man just gets in the way of the things of God. He just complicates things. He frustrates the purposes of God. He hinders the movement of the Spirit of God. That's what the natural man does. So surely the first thing that we need to do, friends, we need to lay on the altar. Hallelujah. Ourselves. We need to die to ourselves. We need to be honest in the presence of the Lord. We need to say, Lord, search me and try me, O Lord. Lord, if there be any wicked way inside of me, Lord, purge me first. Before I go to my brother to try to take the speck out of his eye, Lord, let me take the beam out of my own eye first. Let me judge myself with the righteous judgment of your word and your righteous presence. And you take a process of dying out. And then you're going to see things differently. Now you're not going to be all high and mighty sitting on your throne and everybody else is wrong. But when you come from that kind of a battle, when you've subdued and you've overcome yourself like Jesus had to do in Gethsemane, when self wanted to take control, when self was saying, you don't have to do this. You don't have to make this choice. You don't have to drink from this cup. You haven't sinned. You don't have to pay for sin. And Jesus had to go and say to his disciples, brothers, watch and pray. Pray with me. Pray with me. My soul is troubled nigh unto death. And then Jesus had to, and he got in an agony of prayer. What's happening here? This is the greatest act of overcoming you'll find in the Bible. Before he gets on the cross to deal with the great justice of God, to do the great transaction, he's first got to overcome the inner man in Gethsemane. Before he can go and do the will of God, he's first got to overcome himself. And then you can see it with Jesus when he prays and he breaks through. And the sweat comes down and he's overcome. And he takes the cup and says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You can tell by the way he comes to his disciples. He says, arise. He that betrays me is at hand. He's peaceful. He's tired. He's sweating. But there's been a conquering inside of there. And you can see it by his demeanor. You can see it by the spirit that he's in. You can see it by the way he's approaching this great battle he's going into now. And you can see it, friends, in anybody's life. Amen. And that's why it's good to discern yourself and be honest and say, I'm not yet ready for this. Let me withdraw myself. Let me go and seek his face. Let me go and overcome myself first. And then let me face up to stage two, which is the actual conflict itself, which is the trial, the challenge, the dispute, the conflict. That's part two. But don't get to part two before you've finished completely part one. Otherwise, friends, it doesn't help and it doesn't work. And we know what it's like. It's got to be real kind of prayer. You can always tell anybody who's got any spiritual discernment. If you want to tell something that's right or wrong, have a look in the body of Christ. And see which way the praying people lean. Amen. The way the praying people are leaning, generally you're going to find that's the way God is leaning as well. Hallelujah. But the natural people, they may be leading a completely different way. There's an example. Simeon and Anna. All the natural people, though they were religious, when Mary came with Jesus that day, what were they saying? That's a child of adultery. Yeah? That was a scandal. They, all the natural people thought something was wrong. But Simeon and Anna, the praying people, Simeon, the Holy Ghost was upon him, the Bible says. What did he do? He came in leaning a certain way and he took that same baby in his arms and says, Lord, I've seen, my eyes have seen your salvation. Yet to the rest of the people who weren't prayed up, it was an offense. It was a stumbling block. But to the one that had overcome himself, was subdued, was in the hands of Jehovah. He saw the situation the way it really was. And Anna the same. Anna saw the situation the way that God saw the situation. But only two of them did. The multitude of religious people at that time hadn't overcome themselves. So they didn't see it the way that God saw it. So where's the victory, friends? Overcoming yourself. Getting the Spirit upon you. And it's like the sister put the one church in its condition on WhatsApp. The lamb and the dove. Friends, you've got to get the dove back. Before you try to do anything down the line of anything in life, without the dove coming upon the lamb, friends, all you're doing is in vain. All you're doing is not going to have any long-lasting value. It may make you feel better, because the natural man, when you give in to the natural man, there's a temporary relief. There's a temporary satisfaction. You might be angry with somebody. Yeah? And your flesh is telling you, rebuke that person. Blast them. Go and tell them that you're angry with them. Yeah? There's going to be a voice inside that's going to tell you, don't do that.
Amen.
Have you prayed about it?
Yes.
But if you override the voice, if the inner man is not having the preeminence, if the outer man has the preeminence, you're going to go and blast that person. And you're going to feel some relief. The natural man's going to feel good that he's let off the pressure. But it's a temporary relief. And it's going to cause more problems than it fixes. That's the way that it always is. And that's why the devil said to Jesus, bow down and worship me. I'll give you these kingdoms. Jesus, yes, could have had a temporary relief. He could have had temporary glory. He could have ever had a temporary, you know, he wouldn't have reproach from the people for a season, but it wouldn't have lasted long. There was nothing long-lasting or eternal if he had have given into self. But when he denied self and he took up his cross, like the prophet says, he knew, if I don't take up my cross, my bride can't come with me. Amen. The benefits, the long-term spiritual benefits of him taking the harder way, the narrow way, because thou hast chosen the narrow way, it's my way.
Amen.
That's when the blessing comes. But friends, the flesh doesn't like it. The flesh wants the preeminence. The flesh wants to be pampered. The flesh wants always to be right. Friends, that's why he's our greatest enemy. The flesh is our greatest enemy. That's why, let's have a look at this issue of Ephesians chapter 4. I just wanted to take two different things here, just to show how Paul speaks about when these conditions come, the evil day, when conflict comes, when trial comes, when maybe your children rebel, maybe there's troubles in your home, sickness in your body. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. Look what Paul says. Now let's not forget, when the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, what was his confidence? He said, I preached what Paul preached. That was his confidence there. And the people, they said, we're resting on that. Friends, Paul, what he taught was powerful. And we should be seeking the same, to live what Paul preached. Because that's the message Brother Bram said. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Every one of those attributes is an enemy of the flesh. You can't do that if you're in the flesh. You can't have long suffering to someone if you're in the flesh. You can't bear with somebody if you're in the flesh. You can't have lowliness and meekness if you're in the flesh. You can't have it without prayer. It's when you end prayer, you come out humble. You come out subdued. You come out broken. You come out yielded. You come out submissive. You come out surrendered. You've overcome yourself in the presence of God. Then he says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Friends, we can't have any other unity in the body of Christ apart from the unity of the Spirit. That means if I'm prayed up, or I'm not prayed up and you are, we're not going to be in unity, friends. We're not. It's the unity of the Spirit. That's where our unity is going to have to come in. If I'm seeking to get back into a unity with somebody, I can't govern what they do, but I can govern what I do. There's no way unity can ever be achieved if I'm not in the Spirit. Because it's a unity of the Spirit. This is a spiritual unity. Therefore, I've got to be in a certain spiritual condition before I can seek to achieve a certain spiritual unity. If I'm going as a natural person, I can't have the unity of the Spirit. I can have the unity of the flesh. I can unite because you are South African or Zimbabwean people can unite, Congolese people, Eastern European people can unite around different things, around languages, and that's not the unity of the Spirit. But to get the unity of the Spirit, you've got to overcome self. And once you've overcome self, you are now in a condition that if that person also wants unity of the Spirit, when the two of you come together, you've both overcome in the inner man, something good's going to happen, friends. But if one of you has self in control, it's not going to be easy. Because self is not going to unite in the unity of the Spirit. It's not going to work like that. That's where the conflicts continue. We've got to get ourselves in that spiritual condition. We've got to overcome self. That's why it's impossible to have spiritual harmony when the flesh is in control. It's impossible. You can't have it. It's absolutely impossible. You've got to get yourself out the way. Now, Jehovah has a heart's purpose. Christ tonight has a heart's purpose. He wants his people to be one. He doesn't want conflict. He doesn't want division. He doesn't want problems. He doesn't. That's the heart's desire. If you went into heaven today and you went before the great throne and there's the Shekinah there and you asked him and you said, Lord, what is your desire? He'll say, I prayed it when I was on earth that my people may be one. As you and I, Father, are one, a spiritual unity. So anything that hinders that, what is the greatest thing that's going to hinder unity? The flesh. Self. The moment the self is in control, it's going to hinder that purpose of God. It's going to block the heart's desire of God. God wants his people to have a harmony with one another. Now, that's what I'm saying. I can't govern what you do. You can't govern what I do, but I can govern what I do. And I need to look in the mirror of the word myself and say, Lord, I don't want to be part of a problem. I want to be part of a solution. I want to overcome in this evil day. I want to be a vessel of honor set aside unto the master's use. I want to be used in the hands of God in whatever situation rises up. So Lord, what am I supposed to do? And the first thing you're going to have to do is overcome self. That's the first thing you're going to have to do. And then once you overcome self, you now become a candidate to be used of Jehovah in this great partnership. To fulfill his heart's desire. But the natural man, we can't do it, friends. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is now where you'll really see how self can justify itself. It's a cunning enemy, friends. It disguises itself. It's a slippery enemy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow faith, hallelujah, charity, amen, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Now, there's going to be three kinds of believers, friends. Yes. There's going to be, and also there's going to be good believers. Sometimes you're out of the Spirit. Yes. We're going to have to bear with them. If I'm out of the Spirit, you need to bear with me. That's when long suffering has to, yes, kick in. Because you'll know, I think he's going through a hard time. Let's bear with him. He doesn't normally act like this. You know, so we have to understand each other. But there's a certain unity that comes when people are pure in heart. Then he continues on. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. Now the verse you want is verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. So the Bible says we must not strive. So we need to understand what is it to strive? Because obviously there's going to have to be times we have to correct. There's going to have to be times that we're going to have to, you know, correct somebody's doctrine or whatever it is. What is it to strive? Now the word in the Bible to strive means a warfare. Now this is when you've come down to the natural man now. The word literally means those who engage in a hand-to-hand struggle. This is striving. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to overcome that person with your own strength. That's what it is to strive. It's you in control trying to overcome that person. You're never going to win. You can't win if it's you trying to overcome somebody. It's a waste of time. That's why the Bible says a servant of God mustn't strive. You're fighting at the wrong level. You haven't overcome yourself first if you're trying to strive with somebody. You're trying to use your own means, your own understanding, your own reasoning power. You're trying to use all your own psychology and those things to overcome. Friends, God doesn't work in that level. That's what it is. The other meaning it means, those who engage in a war of words. That's what it is to strive. It's a war of words. So you're not saying something to help somebody. You're trying to prove them wrong. That's a strife. You know, the whole object of what you're trying to do isn't to edify the kingdom or to overcome a problem, but instead the things that you're saying itself, you just want to say them. I'm going to show him I know more than him. I'm going to show her she doesn't know what she's speaking about. And you go and self is in control and you're using scriptures and quotes. The prophet said, the Bible says, and that's a war of words. Amen. And the Bible says the servant of God must not strive. Amen. You're fighting in the battle at the wrong level. Amen. You're allowing the first Adam to fight with the first Adam. You're never going to win. It's only when the second Adam gets involved, something good can come from this. And the third meaning of strife means those who contend at law in the courtroom for property and privileges. So it's like when you go to the court. Now let's think of this. Paul is saying, don't do this as believers. You know what it's like? It's like when you go to the courtroom. Most of the time, that lawyer who's defending the person knows the person's guilty. You see? So the whole conflict isn't about truth. It's about, I'm going to try to prove that I know how to overcome that person's arguments. I know the law better than them. And it becomes a war of words. And in a courtroom, you're trying to catch the person out. You're trying to say, but you said that. You said on such and such a night that you were in such and such a place, but now you've told us that you weren't, that you were in such and such a place. Can you see what the courtrooms are like? Can anything good come from that kind of atmosphere? Never. Friends, we should never come down to that level. Nothing good can come at that level. If you're feeling like that, withdraw from the conflict. Get yourself to Gethsemane. Get yourself into the secret place. Confess your sins and the sins of your fathers and lay yourself upon the altar. And saying, Lord, I'm not doing it the way the prophet said. I'm not in the spirit of what the message says. Lord, purge me first. Deal with me first. How can I expect to help my brother when I'm in this kind of a condition? Is that not where the battle needs to be won first, friends? I really do believe that. Because these courtroom dramas, they're good on TV. When we're in the world, we used to like those kind of things. L.A. Law and those things. Judge Judy. But friends, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work. You can beat somebody down until they'll agree, but inside they don't really agree. You can overwhelm somebody with quotes and scriptures and arguments, but it doesn't really achieve very much. It doesn't really achieve the purpose to which you desired for it to achieve at all. You don't want it to be a courtroom drama. So it means a courtroom drama. Those who contend at law for property and for privileges. Now friends, I don't think any of us want to contend at that kind of a level, in that kind of a condition. What do we want? We want Isaiah 1 verse 18. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. This is lawful now, because this is what God told Israel
that he wanted them to do. We know the scripture well. He says in verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." So we don't want to strive, but come, let's reason together. Let's be together and let's reason. So we're not running away from the problem. We're not running away from disagreements or misunderstandings. We're not running away from anything. But you're wanting to make sure we approach it the right way. We wanted to make sure we approach it the best way so we got the best chance of His will being done, of the kingdom of God being established, of the will of God being done. But in order to do this, God is the one who's saying, come, let's reason together. So we shouldn't strive, friends. We should reason together. And what is it when we do that? It's when two people are not in harmony, but they want to be in harmony.
Hallelujah.
It's like when you and your wife, you have a disagreement in the home. You don't like it when it's like that. Even when you go and pray, you feel uncomfortable. You say, Lord, I don't want it to be like this. And then she doesn't want it to be like that. And you both inside of yourself, you're seeking, how can we fix this problem? That's the way you're praying. You're not coming into that person's presence with a desire to show, I'm going to show her she's wrong. I'm going to show her that she was wrong in what she did. You're wasting your time. You're going to make that conflict deeper than it was. You're not going to resolve it. You're going to make it worse. Because you haven't yet overcome yourself. You're going to strive now. Now you're striving. Now it's arm wrestling with each other now. You're proving points using your own mental powers or whatever that it is. But when you've got a desire in your heart, say, Lord, I don't want this to be like this. I don't want division like this. I don't want to be out of harmony with my brother, out of harmony with my sister. Then you both come in together with the same desire at heart. You still have some troubles. You've still got things you haven't agreed on. You've still got the symptoms there that need to be dealt with. But you need to first deal with the root cause. You've got to get yourself in the spirit first. You've got to go with the right motive. You've got to go with the right desire to say, I really desire, Lord, that when we finish this and come out of this, your will may have prevailed. Your kingdom may have come. Your will may have been done. Otherwise, friends, don't even bother going to somebody. Don't even bother trying to resolve something because you're just going to make it worse because your greatest enemy is self. And the moment you see self is still in control, it's not going to work. It's going to make the conflict deeper. It's going to widen the division. It's going to make it harder to fix it down the way. The best thing, seek His face. Lay yourself upon the altar. Then you go and deal with those things. You know, I just want to finish off a little bit here, coming to a close. Just at lunchtime, Brother James sent me a quote, and I really liked it. And I sent him back. I said, hey, bro, it's a powerful quote that you sent, because it's exactly in line with what I'm really preparing for this evening. And it's from the prophet Elisha, and he's speaking about when Ahab and Jehoshaphat, remember when they decided to go out and whatever it was, and they went out and they got themselves stuck in a place that there was no water. And then they remember they had to call for Elisha to come and help them. They had to dig the valley full of ditches. We know the message. The prophet preaches it. But the prophet says in the message, the prophet Elisha says, they went off in such a hurry without even considering God. And when they found that 7 days was up, their water supply was cut off. They didn't have any water to drink. Now, that's what we do. Sometimes we go off on a tantrum somewhere. That's our human immaturity in us. Takes control and we go off on a tantrum. We do that. And we don't think about God. We don't pray over it. We don't ask the Lord whether we should do it or not. We just go and say, well, this seems a good idea. I'm going to go and show my child that he mustn't ever do that again. And then we go, we don't pray about it, we don't ask the Lord, is this the best approach? Is this the best way to deal with this issue? We just get it involved like that. And the prophet says, and we find out that our supply of blessings is cut off. Then we wonder sometimes, well, I wonder why I can't have any more blessings. He says, you didn't watch. You let down your prayer life. You let down, you didn't take the battle to the right dimension first. You didn't go and wage warfare against the greatest enemy first, self. You didn't bring yourself under subjection first. And you find Yes, you may have vented all of your opinions. You may have let off all of the pressure. But how do you feel in your soul? There's no blessing. The water supply is cut off. And then you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I did wrong. Lord, I ran ahead of you. I shouldn't have handled it like that. Forgive me for that, Lord. And friends, we know how easy it is. There's that voice that tells you, don't say it. And you know what it is. And you say, I'm going to get on the phone. I'm going to phone that person. And something's telling you, don't do it. And the moment you override that little buzzer, the prophet says, see the trouble that it causes. You regret it every time because it's self. You've given over to self. You've satisfied self. And whenever you satisfy self, friends, there's very little lasting blessing. It'll ever come from satisfying self. The prophet says, you let down your prayer life. You say, well, I'm a Christian. He says, that doesn't. That's the more sign that you should pray more than ever. Read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Don't make any decisions too harshly or too quickly. Whew. I love that. I said, Lord. I said, Lord, Brother Beckett gave us that other one about take a man to pray before God, and I keep it in my Bible. I said, this one here, I should print it out and stick it in my Bible. Don't make any decisions too harshly or too quickly without first considering God about it. Friends, would life not be a lot easier if we did that, friends? Ooh. But where all of our regrets, and I put my hands up, is when we haven't done that, friends. It's so easy. I'm going to just say this to this person. I'm going to do this. And that something's telling inside. Like Brother Branham that time when he had enough with the tax case and so forth. And he said, Mita, pack up the bags. We're leaving. And she said, Billy, have you prayed about it? And he said, it's good to have a godly wife. He says, and then I went and prayed about it. And the Lord revealed to me the story about Jesus that he didn't have to pay his taxes. But then he said to Peter, Peter, we don't want to offend them. Go and get the fish. Take the coin. Pay them lest we offend them. So Jesus didn't owe the temple tax. He was the God of the temple. But the prophet says, the Lord was telling me, just pay them their tax so that you don't offend them. And the prophet says, when I went and prayed about it, but he'd already made up his decision. Wash up the kids, put in the clothes, we're heading out of here. Friends, it's easy to do those things. He says, ask him. He says, we do these things without first consulting God. Ask him. Shall I do this, Father? Ask him, is it your will for me to do this? Then see what the Holy Spirit will speak to you. This is overcoming, friends. This is how you overcome. You go and you lay yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I tried this, I tried that, I tried that, didn't work. I'm sorry, Lord, I ran ahead of you. Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, then wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He might not give you a vision, but he will speak to you in some way. Amen. To let you know if you'll be sincere and ask him. Amen. Friends, I think that's the key. Hallelujah. In any situation, in any time. And for us at this time, that's what we need to do. Amen. We need to go and ask the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? You'll find that with Jesus. The great attribute of Jesus was his self-control. Total self-control. What did the Bible say when they took him and they beat him and so forth? He answered them not a word. He would never answer until he knew, my Father wants me to say this. He answered not a word. The Bible says that as a lamb before its shearers is dumb. When they shear the lamb, so he answered them not a word. Is that not the hardest thing sometimes to do? To overcome ourselves. When somebody provokes you, says something, and it's hurtful to you. And you know, that's not right. You want to defend yourself. Self wants to defend itself. Self wants to show, that's not it. There's another side to the story here. And then Father says to you, come and speak to me a little bit. The best thing to do, go and speak to him a little bit. Don't. The Bible says, committing all judgment into his hands, yeah? Because he judges with righteous judgment. Don't try to quickly jump in and justify yourself and sort things out. You just make it worse. The best thing, separate yourself. Go and speak to Father. And commit judgment to Him. And the Bible says He will make your light shine forth as the noonday. In His season, if you're right, if you actually have been wronged, He knows how to bring it out to show everybody, did you see? This is my son, this is my daughter that did nothing wrong. But let Him be the one who defends you. Let Him be the one who does the justification. Don't let self seek for self-satisfaction by trying to take it in your own hands and say, I'm going to go and show I wasn't guilty of that. I never said that. And then you want to broadcast it everywhere. Just say, look, I never said that. This person, no, friend, that doesn't make it better. That's striving, friends. That's fighting the battles on the wrong level. Overcome yourself. Like Jesus did. Take up your cross and say, Father, maybe you're testing the reaction to an action. Lord, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. You're wanting me to go through this valley. You're wanting me to go through this. Lord, help me to be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, in what I say and what I do. But there's pressure in that process. There's going to come pressure on the natural man. Remember David that time when Saul was going around and saying all manner of evil about David and was chasing him and, you know, saying he's a treacherous young man and so forth. And David, he was not understanding at first what was going on. And then he committed his ways to the Lord. He went and consulted the prophet, remember? Samuel, when he was still alive. And Samuel must have told him the counsels of God. And David was out there in the wilderness. And then they told him, David, Saul's down there in the cave. And David went down. There was Saul. David was in the cave. And Saul came in and lay down to sleep. And what did David's men say to him? They took the scripture and they said, is this not the day that God spoke to you of? That you can have vengeance. He's going to deliver your enemies into your hands. Hey, there was a lot of justification for David to say, all my problems can be over now. I can smite this man now. Finished and my problems are over. But that wasn't God's way. That would have been choosing the way to Tarshish. That wasn't the way to Nineveh. I've got to take God's way. And David in the spirit, he says, no, this is the Lord's anointed. He's not my enemy. He's the Lord's anointed. Yes, there may be an evil spirit from the Lord's come upon him and he's chasing me, but this is the Lord's anointed. And then he cut off the hem of his garment and it smote him. I shouldn't have even touched his garment. And then Saul went out of the cave and David followed him and says, my father, oh Lord King. And he says, is that you, my son David? And he says, my father, why are you listening to sinful men? The Lord delivered you into my hands this day. I would have smitten you. But to show that there's no evil inside of me. And then Saul said, you are more righteous than I. You shall be great, please. And when you made king, please spare my family. Don't destroy my children, please. Friends. And then two chapters later, God just wanted to make sure. There's Saul sleeping down there in the valley. And David comes down, whoever with Abishai, whoever it was. And there's the spear right at the head of Saul. And a deep sleep from the Lord, the Bible says, is upon them all. And then Abishai, knowing this man, David's not going to smite this man. He says, my Lord, let me smite him. I won't even smite him twice. Just once will be enough. And he said, who can touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? But take his bolster. And he took it, went to the high rock and cried out, O Abner, Abner! You've sinned against the king. You haven't protected the Lord's anointed. And then Saul comes to himself again and says, but my son David, is that you? I know that you'll be king. Friends, rather let God do those kind of things. But God's going to put these situations on our hands and self is going to want to manifest itself. Self wants instant satisfaction. It wants instant solutions to things. But let's rather go the way of Nineveh. Let's go, rather take up that cross and say, Jesus, let me rather follow your bloody footprints. Let me walk with you, blessed Lord. Let me follow the heavenly dove. Let me not do it my way, Father, but your will be done. And the prophet says, there's two ways. There's your way and there's God's way. He says, there's the wrong way and there's the right way. There's the way that leads to life and there's the way that leads to death. And he says, your way every time is the wrong way. And it says God's way is the right way. So friends, what I just really wanted to say to us maybe upon this evening, I really would like to call on Saturday that we call for a day of fasting. and pray on this week on Saturday. And we come to the house of the Lord. Whoever's heart would be in the things of God. And let's come on Saturday. Let's meet maybe 5 o'clock, start 5:30. Let's come and put ourselves before the Lord. Let's come and seek His face at this time. Let's come and subdue ourselves. Let's come and lay ourselves on the altar. Let's lay aside all other things, friends. Let's lay aside all carnal ways of dealing with things, natural ways. And let's come and commit all of our ways to the Lord. Amen. Let's come and overcome self. Let's come and acknowledge Him. Let's come and seek His leadership. Let's come to seek to get His Spirit upon us like Simeon and Anna. Let's come to bring ourselves once again into the bloody footprints so that we can follow Him at this time. So that we don't make things worse than they are. We don't complicate things and, you know, frustrate the purposes of God and His desires, whatsoever they would be at this time. But we work in a harmony with God. That you bring ourselves personally in a spiritual union with Him, in harmony with God. And then, friends, it's natural that we're going to come into harmony with one another. Amen. If the Spirit is upon you and the Spirit is upon me, I don't think it's going to be much problem if we need to reason things out together. Because we've already overcome ourselves. So I'd really invite everybody, Saturday, whoever's heart is in the things of the kingdom, let's come. Let's seek the Lord. Let's humble ourselves. Let's fast, pray, submit ourselves in the presence of God. Let's seek to overcome our greatest enemies first. Let's wage warfare against self. And between now and then, really commit yourself before the Lord. And I believe the Lord can do wonderful things, friends. I believe He's Jehovah Rapha. He can heal any situation. He can heal any disease. He can heal any conflict, whatsoever it would be. I believe that God has everything under His control. Let's stand, let's sing, friends, before we come to a time of finishing the service. I just had put another title of the power of self. You know, friends, we really do. Self has a great power. But the power of the Word, the power of the Spirit, the power of the new birth is far greater than the power of self. So let's submit ourselves to Him. Let's sing that song, because you have chosen the hardest way, the narrow way. You've chosen it. There's a great portion of heaven waiting for you.
You have chosen narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven
waiting for you because of what you decided. That was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy
the angel told to the great messenger.
That is what will produce
great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Oh, ah. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But it's Holy Spirit,
but it's Holy Spirit
will lead us. perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh, to walk
in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariots
of our beloved ones coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim. I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of
that divine love will live in me.
Oh, the desire that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I desire that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Friends, let's come and bless His name this evening. I bless your name. I bless your name.
There's
change with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's breathe the night, and in their pain began to see.
Well, they began to see
their chains were loose.
Well, their chains were loose. I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all.
I give you praise. You are, you are, you are
the truth, the way. I bless your name.
Oh, we bless you, Lord.
I bless your name.
Some midnight hour,
if you should cry,
you're in a prayer.
I bless your name. give you honor. I give you praise. You are, you are, you are.
Why don't we just put ourselves on the altar a little bit this evening, friends? Why don't you just look to Him? Like I said in the beginning of the service, friends, me, I'm preaching to myself. And I just pray that you look in the mirror of the Word for yourself. Don't apply it anywhere else. It's not meant to be applied to anybody else. But you will overcome if you overcome yourself. You'll be a blessing. You'll be a tool in the hands of God. But first, you've got to put yourself on His altar. Come into the spiritual dimension. Seek Him. And said, Lord, you have the preeminence, you have your way. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Father, just waiting upon thee, Lord, upon this evening, Lord, just so much wanting, Lord, to say unto thee upon this night, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. If you have a desire before the Lord, if you want to raise your hand, just ask Brother Max if you wouldn't mind coming to close for us in a word of prayer. Just to make it clear, friends, there's no service then on Friday. Let's come Saturday. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's meet, say, 5 o'clock here. Start singing 5:30. Let's just seek the Lord for His mercy as individuals and that His will be done at this time.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Oh, see if there be some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me. Dear Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord,
that's our prayer.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit this evening,
oh Lord,
has come to expose our greatest enemy,
yes, Lord,
self.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, even as the Holy Spirit came with the word, Lord, we are not looking beyond ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we are looking at our own selves, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, who could be our example?
Amen.
Jesus Christ yourself.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Who denied yourself, O God.
Amen. Amen.
Was able to overcome self so that, Lord, you will be counted amongst us as sinner.
Yes, Lord.
So that you will be able to sanctify us, O God.
Amen.
And take us back to the place where you planted us from the beginning.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we thank you for the word that has come tonight, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord Jesus, you help us, O God, to look into the mirror and look at,
amen,
our own selves, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, if there is anything that is not right to God,
amen,
we pray the Holy Spirit, to God,
yes, Lord,
to help us, Lord Jesus, to overcome our own selves, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, this moment, O Lord Jesus, as even the message came one time, with the topic Job's priesthood.
Yes, Lord.
Father, the Holy Spirit admonished us to carry one another unto the presence of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That we should put on the priesthood garment, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
That, Father, we remember one another in prayer.
Yes, Lord.
To carry the burden of one another, Lord. Father, let that Spirit of God prevail in this church, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, we become as one, O Lord Jesus, in the same Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us, O God.
Please, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that this mercy that has come, Father, let it be our life.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we thank you. We bless you for our pastor, Lord.
Lord.
Just bless him, Lord Jesus.
Please, Lord.
And continue, God, to use him, O Lord, for the sake, O God, of the bride, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even as we are preparing, O God, even to still continue to wait on you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We know that your word will be true. That Amen. As many that wait upon you shall renew their strength.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let us be renewed, O Lord Jesus. And even as, Lord Jesus, you know our hearts this moment, O God.
Amen.
Father,
yes,
we bring everything before you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That your Spirit, O God, will continue to work in us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you know the needs of your children, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We come before you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, you meet each and every one, Lord.
Please, Lord.
According to your riches in glory.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We bless you.
Yes, Lord.
The rest of the days that are coming, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we want to put on all our priest garments, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, it will not be that prophetic garment whereby, Lord, we begin to bring God against the people.
No.
But, Lord, we carry the people to God, Lord.
Amen.
Father, let that Spirit prevail over your church, Lord.
Please, Lord.
We thank you once again, Lord.
Amen.
Father, as we go back, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you grant us genuineness.
Please, Lord.
Oh, Father, and when we are in our crosses, Lord, continue,
Amen.
God,
Amen.
To speak to us
yes,
in
Lord.
Dreams, in visions, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Lord, we want to be like you.
Yes, Lord.
We want to be like you, Jesus.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thanks, Brother Max. Let's sing one, Brother Joy, as people dismiss. Let's sing one song as we dismiss, saints, and God bless you.
This is my daily bread. This is the air I breathe. This is the year I breathe.
Amen.
This is the year I breathe. Your holy praises within me. This is my daily.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread. Your spoken word revealed to me, and I am desperate for you. Jesus, and I'm lost without you.
I'm lost without you, Jesus, and I
I'm desperate for you,
Jesus, and I
lost without you.
Oh, this is the air.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence within.
This is my daily bread.
This
is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Your spoken word. And I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. And desperate for you, Jesus, and I'm lost without you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. I'm lost without you, my Lord.